Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. Book of Exodus, chapter 24. And begin reading verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come back or come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. God called Moses and said, come up to me in the mountaintop. He said, I've got something to give you. And so Moses goes up into the mountain, and the cloud comes and covers the mountain, and for 6 days Moses waits for God to speak, but there was nothing but a cloud. It was on the seventh day that God called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And I pray that you'd just allow me, and God would help me, to minister to us tonight on this subject: when God doesn't speak. When God doesn't speak. I'm a faith preacher. I believe God's able to do anything. I usually preach about God speaking, God's doing, He's here, He's working. But I'm going to preach to us tonight when God doesn't speak. Help us, Lord. Help us, God, in this place. Minister to our hearts, I pray, Lord. Let your will be done in this church, in this city, in the surrounding area. Lord, I know that you're calling us to a great work that you have to do. But Lord, I pray that you would lead us and direct us forward, God, that we are able to accomplish what you've called us to do. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, in this house. I pray that your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. In this chapter, Exodus 24, God calls Moses, Aaron's sons, along with 70 elders of Israel, to come up into the mount and to worship God. Moses finished telling the people of Israel all the things that God had commanded. And in this chapter, the people agreed that they would obey the Lord's word. Now, there was a ceremony to recognize this covenant between God and his people. And they sacrificed a peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took blood from the sacrifice and he sprinkled it on the people. All of this has great significance of what it represents in the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus gave us, and the covering that we have from the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Now, after this ceremony, Moses and the elders are called up the mountain. Exodus 24 and 10 tells us, and they saw the God of Israel. Isn't that something? They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. They saw God. Now, we do not know what they saw. The Bible here tells us they saw what was under his feet. It seemed like it was pavement made of clear sapphire. It certainly seems that they did not dare lift their eyes up above what was under his feet because of his glory. And the clear sapphire certainly seems to relate to what Revelation calls as a sea of glass before the throne of God. It was a glorious experience, but it was not a face-to-face encounter with God. God's glory was too much for them to look at, but they saw the pavement under his feet. And in God's presence, then they ate and they drank. Can you imagine what a banquet and what a feast that must have been? A meal was a common way to seal a covenant. And God was sealing what he had promised his people and what his people had promised him. When we think of how these leaders of Israel must have been impacted, the effect that God's glory and presence must have had upon them, we've got to wonder, how could they ever, ever doubt the Lord? When they had seen him, or at least the pavement under his feet, how could they ever doubt that God was alive and well and working in their midst and leading them to the promised land? How could they ever doubt Moses? How could they ever possibly stray from the covenant that they'd made with the Lord there on the mountain? Yet today, we often struggle to stay faithful. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. They saw God, if it was only what was under his feet. But the scriptures say that upon them God laid not his hand. He had mercy on them, even knowing that they were about to fail, what they were going to do and how they would forsake him and turn away from their commitment. Is anybody thankful today that God has mercy on us? Come on, is anybody thankful today that even with our shortcomings, even with our failures, every time God looks at us, he has his blood to cover us, his mercy, his grace? Oh, come on, we're bless people today. And then God said to Moses, he said, come up further and meet with me on the mountaintop, because God had more. Specifically, God was going to give him the tablets of stone that would shape and form the laws of the land all the way from Israel even unto our day. What do you think Moses felt like? Being called up further by God like this. No doubt he was overcome with awe and with wonder that God wants to meet, to talk about the people's future. And what a privilege that God was going to speak to us just about anything. And then surely Moses made plans quickly and put everything else aside and in all that was busy in his life, because now there was something much more important than anything else in his world. God wants to share something with him, and he wanted to avoid doing anything that would delay hearing God's purpose and plan for him. When he gets there, there's immediate confirmation of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that a cloud covers the mountain. God was there. No doubt Moses was beyond excited to be present, and he couldn't wait to hear what God had to share with him. And he's about to find out what he and all the people were anxiously waiting on. God had called him there to give him clear direction and purpose for the days ahead. And Moses, he hurried to get there, but then we read something peculiar. Exodus 24 and 16 says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain. For 6 days Moses is left wondering what he is doing there. For 6 days, there is no communication with God. I tell you, there's something here that disturbs us. There's something here that does not rest easy about this. And I just have to admit today that if my pastor or if Brother Poe or one of our other elders in my life, if he called me and said, I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, and I've got a word for you. It's going to shape everything that you do from here on out in your life, and this is what you are needing to hear. I need you to come meet me. I can guarantee you today that I'd lay everything else down. I'd make my way to wherever I needed to be. But none of us would expect to have to just sit there in their presence for 6 days before they finally shared what they'd so urgently called us for. If we rush to get there to get this most important news, we'd want them to immediately tell us what it is that we'd come for. But Moses sits there for 6 cloudy days. Oh, don't forget, Moses didn't call for the meeting. God did. And God knew exactly when Moses would get there. Now, we all have the benefit of reading the rest of the story. And in one verse, it sums up what happened. We all know that after 6 days, God did finally speak on the seventh, and God gave Moses direction that carried Israel into their future and set them apart from the world around them. We know of how God blessed his people and brought them into the promised land, and how he delivered them time and time again, and how his favor rested upon them, and the glory of God was shown in the world through his people. We know the rest of the story today. But even though we do know that God did finally speak on the seventh day and all that took place after that, does anybody wonder just a little bit with your pastor today about how Moses handled 6 days where God didn't speak? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I'll go ahead and preach to me tonight. But I'm telling you, 6 days where God didn't say a thing. 6 days where he was lost in a crowd. 6 days where he had no direction. What seemed like it was so important for him to get there for. Now it seems like God has forgotten. And he's there in the presence of God, but now he's wondering if somehow he went to the wrong place and maybe he did something wrong and now God's mad at him. And did God change his plans? What's going on, God? Did you forget about me? It was obvious that he was in God's presence because of the glory of God that was there upon that mountaintop. Moses knew God was there. The cloud covered the mountain. He knew he was in his presence, but God was silent. And not only that, but he was silent the day before too. As a matter of fact, God had been silent for 6 days. And what did Moses do when God didn't speak? And I'm preaching to us here tonight because all of us at times will find ourselves living in days where God doesn't speak, stuck in times between the amazing moves of God's Spirit. But here, it happened before and we know it'll happen again, but right now I'm stuck between the move of God's miraculous power, and God's demonstrated his anointing and his power, but right now he's not working and he's not moving and he's not speaking. Oh, we can remember in the not too distant past where we saw that miracle take place. Oh, we know that God is doing things in people's lives, and we know his presence is near, and we can feel him during the worship service. I felt him here tonight. I don't know about you, but when we go to the prayer room, there's a witness that his spirit is there, but still God is silent, and the prayers we're praying don't seem to be getting answered, and the questions we've been asking are still unanswered, and we just have to sit there in the darkness and sit there in the silence. We all have days when God doesn't speak. Think about Moses. God, you called for this meeting. You said there was something pressing that I needed to hear. The people, they want to hear what you have to say. We all need some answers. We need to hear your voice. And so, God, I cleared my schedule. I showed up where you called me to be, and I came here quick, and now you want to delay? Don't you know I've got some urgent needs, God? And I need an answer right now. God, when something this urgent, and when you've got something this urgent for me, and I would think it'd be urgent for you. Did I hear you wrong? Did I do something wrong? Have you changed your mind? Have you removed your calling off my life? Am I not anointed anymore? Am I not in the right place? Have I missed it? Come on, has anybody ever been there where God didn't speak? But then Moses had to say, no, I know that I'm in the right place. But God isn't saying anything. How did Moses handle those 6 days when God didn't speak? And how do we handle the times when God is silent? Oh, come on, somebody here tonight. I'm telling you, there's. What do we do when we don't know what to do? What about when we've been desperate for an answer and time is ticking away and it's about to run out, but still God hasn't said anything? And what about when they wanted the answer yesterday, but we have no idea what to do? God, don't you know I need to hear your voice? Don't you know that time's running out? Why are you silent, God? Don't you care about me? Sometimes we go to prayer and it's like there's a window direct from heaven that opens up, and all of a sudden God's in the room and his glory is there and he speaks to us, and we know that he has heard us and we know that he has answered our prayer. Oh, those are marvelous times in the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful today for preachers that hear from God, and in the midst of what we might be going through, God sends them with a word from God. And in the midst of everything we're facing, God gives us just a little nugget, a little direction, a little light in the midst of our darkness, a little hope in the time of our struggle. And then we can go with the strength of that and make it another day. Oh, It's a little word in due season. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? It's good to hear a word spoken in due season. When God speaks a word to us in due season, Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken, it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Thank God for when he speaks. Thank God when the service is just what we needed. Thank God when he sends a preacher to us to tell us something direct to our life and situation. But what about when God doesn't speak? Those times in between the miracles, between the words from the Lord, between the services where everybody's running and everybody's shouting and people are slain in the spirit. What do we do in those days in between? We all need to ask ourselves the question tonight, do we live for God only for the stuff he does for us? Or is there something deeper? Is there something deeper than that, where sometimes it's just about being in his presence? Oh, it's just a surface relationship where people have to be, they got to be talking all the time to fill the empty space. You know what I'm talking about? I want to tell you, there's another level of relationship where sometimes you're just comfortable being in someone's presence, and you don't have to talk all the time, but you can just sit there in their presence and enjoy their company. I tell you, God's looking for people that aren't saying, okay, God, I need another miracle or else I'm going to turn away. No, God's looking for somebody that says, God, I just enjoy your company. I just enjoy your presence. And so maybe it's been 6 days, but I'm going to stay right here where you are. I'm not moving, Lord. I'm trusting you because, Lord, I'm in love with your presence.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes God has to ask, you know, do you Do you only live for me because of the stuff I do for you? Or do you even like being around me? Being in my presence, being close to me. Do you only run to me when you have a need? Or is there something about our relationship where if it's been too long since we've been together that you've got to do whatever it takes to get back in my presence? There's a lot of times our prayers consist of this list of to-dos that we hand it off to God and say, okay, God, here's what I need you to do. God, do this. God, do that. And then we wait a minute, maybe two, to see if we hear his voice. And if we don't, we're off to something else. Because we value other things more than we really value God's presence. Jesus took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter and James and John a little further. And in Matthew 26, 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Tarry ye here. Abide here with me. Continue here. Stay here. Remain here. Another meaning of that word is endure here with me. Come on, go through it with me. Oh, we love the seventh day when God speaks, but are we willing to tarry with him the 6 days in his presence? Come on, I'm preaching to somebody tonight that if you can catch a glimpse of this, if you can realize this, it's going to transform your walk with the Lord. It's going to transform your devotion with God. Instead of it being something you have to do, you're not going to be able to wait until you can go get in his presence. And there's going to be a love that grows, and there's going to be a power that moves. And oh, God's going to speak on the seventh day, but it's going to be because you're willing to be in his presence for the 6 days. On the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the church grew by 3,000 that day. Now that's my kind of preaching right there. We can shout over that and how awesome it is to see what God did. But we forget about the tarrying that went on before the day of Pentecost. Luke 24, 49, Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. No doubt today there's not more enduing of the power of God from on high because there's not a lot of tarrying going on. Come on, music team, make something happen. Come on, preacher, preach a masterpiece every week. Come on, let's have revival. Somebody worship. Come on, somebody make it. Let's shout and dance, and let's have an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And come on, God, would you show up and show off? But we haven't even prayed, much less tarried in his presence, much less endured through some things, much less abided in the presence of the Lord. This generation is used to microwaves and air fryers and Keurig coffee makers and fast food. And then when we have to wait a few minutes, we get antsy. And in the church, we want it to be on our own timetable. Well, God, you know I showed up. Now you do your thing. But we've only got a few minutes, God, because you know I've got other plans. And as a pastor, I feel that struggle to always preach something that moves people. And yes, I want to see the power of God fall. And oh, how I love it when the glory of God fills the house. And oh, and signs and wonders and miracles take place. But if I'm always trying to push, if I'm always trying to push for that, I'm doing the church a disservice. Because sometimes God's looking for us to tarry a little while in his presence. And if we're only about the great manifestations of his power, then we're going to miss growing up into spiritual maturity. Come on, we will only be children wanting instant gratification, and we'll be going from one thing to the next. But in the middle of all that, we won't trust God, and we won't see his miracles and true miracles. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He said, "I wanted to feed you some meat, but you're like babies. You can't bear it. You can only drink milk." It's a lot easier to suck down a bottle than it is to eat meat. It's a lot quicker to get a bottle down than to chew on a steak. The mature things of God don't come unless we're willing to wait on the Lord. When God doesn't speak, but through the silence and through the delays, we have to learn to simply abide. He has much to show us. Oh, and he's got just as much to show us in the normal and quiet times as he does when the Red Sea opens up and we walk across on dry land. You see, Moses couldn't handle what God was going to give him on day 7 if he didn't first come through the 6 days. Come on, I feel this here tonight. God's speaking to our church, and God's saying, "I have so much more for you. I have greater things for you. You've not even tapped into what I want to do." But oh, in our limited time in God's presence is holding us back from the authority we need to operate in the dimension he wants to take us to. Let me say that again. Our limited time in God's presence is holding us back from the authority we need to operate in those dimensions that God is wanting to take us to. How can I say this without offending somebody? We want the mighty demonstration of God's power, but we haven't spent enough time in his glory to have the authority we need in the Spirit to operate on that level. And whenever a move of the supernatural is calling us up higher, the enemy knows it only takes a few little carnal things to get us off track, and we surrender the spiritual destination God wants to take us to, because the carnal is easier, it's quicker. So I feel that our church is at a great crossroads. And I believe everybody who's here in our church right now is supposed to be here. There's been others along the way that you know, God has a plan for them. But God has a plan for this church. But what this church does need to do is for us to shake off the childish mindset of the world that's so focused on instant rewards. And realize that if we're going to the place God's got for us, we're going to have to spend some days on the mountain. We're some time in his presence without a miracle, without a word from God to help us make it through every single day. Sometimes he's got to just be able to trust us to endure for a little while, to tarry a little while, to wait, to stay when we don't want to stay, to do what our flesh doesn't want to do. Sometimes we just got to say, "Lord, I know you're real, and I know you're speaking. I may not be able to hear it right now, but God, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait here in your presence, because I know you've called me. And I'm answering that call, Lord, and nothing's going to turn me aside. I've got to get my eyes on you. I can't look at the storm around me. I can't look at the trial I'm going through. But Jesus, I'm looking to you, because I don't want to miss your voice when you do speak. I want to be right here in the will of God for my life." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus told the disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side, he said. They got into a storm. And the Bible says the wind was contrary. They weren't making any progress. They were spinning their wheels. They weren't getting anywhere. And Jesus comes to them. He's walking on the sea, and they were so afraid. Sometimes God has called us. He has given us direction. He has showed us where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. But if it's been a hot minute since we heard from him, we get to thinking, you know what, maybe God's will's changed for my life. And if we get into a storm, if all of a sudden it's not easy anymore, if we run into resistance, we start, come on, when the wind is contrary, it's not fun anymore. It's fun when the wind's at our back and it's pushing us forward and we've got momentum and oh, this is easy and we can do this and God's helping us and we're going places. But all of a sudden the wind shifts and now the wind is contrary and there's resistance and there's something pushing back at us and now we have to fight for every inch, it seems like, and it's one step forward and two steps back and Lord, what's going on? Why did something shift? Why did something change? God, isn't there an easier way? Well, what are you up to anyway, God? Don't you know where we're at? Can't you give us a little help? I'm here in a storm. What he commands us to do still stands. He told them to go to the other side. That had not changed just because there was resistance. Oh, we're willing to work for God as long as it's easy, as long as we don't have to fight any battles, as long as there's no enemies, as long as everybody likes us, as long as the wind is in our favor. But if Jesus had control of the wind and the waves, then Jesus knew. He knew, I'm going to tell them to go to the other side and they're going to run into a storm, but it's still my will. Come on, somebody. God saw that storm before you ever did. God saw that trial before you ever got there. God saw what you were facing right now before you ever made it. And God said, they're going to come through. I'm going to bring them through. And I'm going to work, and one day I'm going to speak. Oh, come on, you're in the 6 days. You're in the 6 days. How long do 6 days last? I say, when they torture people, put them in a room, play loud music, turn the lights on and off at odd times, put them in darkness, whatever it is, or bright light, they lose track of how many days it's been. They're exhausted. They're tired. Their mind can't think straight. Moses is in a cloud. He can't see the sun. Can't see the moon. All he knows is God's not speaking. How long has it been? I don't know if Moses knew how long it'd been. Can you feel his pain with me just a little bit here right now? All he knew is God told him to get there. He got there as soon as he can, and now what is going on? Maybe you're in the 6 days, and how long do 6 days last when you can't see the sun? Maybe you've been here and it's been 6 months. I don't know, maybe it's been 6 years. I don't know how long it's been, but I'll tell you this, there will come a day when you hear his voice. There will come a day when there's a breakthrough. Come on, the sun's going to shine again. I know you're in a cloud. I know you can't see because of all the fog, but just keep staying in his presence. His word is coming. The answer is on the way. Don't you dare give up now. You've come this far. God wants to take you all the way. Somebody needs to be encouraged in this house, because though you may not hear the voice of God right now, his word is coming. His promises are coming. He's faithful. He's true. You can stand on the word of God. You can declare it by faith.
Come on, I wish the two or three that I'm preaching to right now would start to let their faith rise. God is still in control. God still knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm going through. I don't know how long I'll be here, but I'm going to trust the presence of the Lord. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I believe your breakthrough's coming. And I believe the answer is when you start worshiping in the midst of the cloud. When you start praising God. When you haven't heard his voice, but you're going to praise him anyway. You're going to worship him anyway. And the answer's on the way. The breakthrough's coming. Oh, come on. When God doesn't speak, it doesn't excuse us from what he's called us to do. When God doesn't speak, it doesn't let us off in the challenge that God has placed before us. When God doesn't speak, it doesn't mean that we can say, well, I'll just quit church and I'll just do something else. No, when God doesn't speak, we're responsible to stay in his presence. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Isaiah 40, 31. Oh. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. I just don't have strength. Wait upon the Lord. I just don't know if I can make it. Wait upon the Lord. I haven't heard his voice. Wait upon the Lord. I'm facing resistance. Wait upon the Lord. I don't know if I can come through this. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And there's going to be a renewing of your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody needs to wait on the Lord. You need to make time to wait on the Lord. If you're too busy to wait on the Lord, we're too busy. It's got to be our priority. I've got to wait on him. I've got to wait on him. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. God gave Moses 6 days. How long is due season? Is it 6 days? Is it 6 months? 6 years? In due season. It's in the timing of God. In the timing of God. Here we are, stuck in time. 24 hours a day. 365 days a year. Sun comes up, sun comes down. We're stuck inside time. We can't get out of time. But God's outside of time. He always was. He always will be. We can't fathom that. We can't understand that. But sometimes we get impatient. From a human perspective. Because God, it's been 3 hours and I hadn't had an answer. It's been a week and I'm still struggling, Lord. Sometimes we're just lost in the cloud and we don't even know how long it's been. All we know is it's just been a long time since God gave us a fresh word. It's not that God, we know God is real. We come to church like this. We feel his presence.
We worship him. We magnify him. God's moving. He's working. And we know he's real. But Lord, I need a word from you. And it's in the time in between that there's some stretching and there's some muscles being built and there's some faith that's having to grow. Somebody here tonight, I just want to encourage you. Keep waiting on the Lord. Keep waiting on the Lord. Keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. Oh, I could tell you about Abraham and Sarah. They thought they'd help God out. No. What about King Saul? When God didn't show up on his timetable, he thought, well, I'll just take care of it myself. He stepped out of the will of God. What about Elijah? Oh, Elijah had just come off the mountaintop where there was a miracle. And God showed up from heaven with fire and consumed the sacrifice. And then, all of a sudden, he's running from Jezebel. He's in a cave. And look at the progression of events. There was a wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire. Wasn't in all of those. Some of you have been through some earthquakes this year. Some of you had to deal with some fires and some wind that has shaken some things, and God's still not speaking. Just wait on the Lord, because after that there was a still small voice. Hallelujah. Job, the whole book of Job, I don't find where God said, Job, heads up. I'm going to use this for my glory, and you're going to come out better in the end. I don't find that in the Word of God. But Job had to trust God. Oh, Job had to trust God when he wasn't speaking. And Job made the statement. He, remember the verse exactly? I don't have it here right now, but he said, you know what? I'm looking on the right. I can't find. Seems like on the left, I think, is that where he said, seems like he's hiding from me. You look at your life right now. I can't find the Lord on my right. I can't find him on the left. I can't see. I don't know what to do. I'm just lost. But then Job said, but when he has tried me, oh, he knows the way that I take. He knows where I am. He sees what I'm going through. And when he's tried me, Brother Caleb, I shall come forth as gold. Come on, somebody. You're in the 6 days. I don't know if you're on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, but you're somewhere in between. But keep trusting the Lord. Keep waiting on the presence of God. His word is coming. His help is on the way. Oh, come on. Can you meet me in this altar right now? Does anybody feel this? Come on. God's speaking to someone here tonight. Wait on the Lord. Wait on me. Spend time in my presence. Just fall in love being in my company. I'm going to speak to you, but I want you to just dwell in my presence.